You're listening to a MAGFest special presentation on the Fat Gatsby Network.
Hello! Oh, Lordy. Hey, everybody. This is Dave, and we are in the car driving to MAGFest 2018. They don't number them anymore. Yep. I don't know at what point they just started naming them after the year, but that's probably for the best.
Easier to keep track, at least.
I guess so. Boy, you know what I didn't test? I'm going to assume that this continues to record even if I page back to Google Maps.
One hopes.
Yeah, it's still recording.
Okay.
Oh, good.
As far as I can tell. It might actually catch when, yeah, it's
when Google starts talking to us.
When Google starts talking to us, but yeah. So yeah, we're recording a podcast in the car, and I'm Dave, and I'm here.
Hi, Dave.
I'm Ben, and I'm here.
Hi, Ben.
Hi.
I'm Steve, and I'm here.
Hi, Steve.
I'm Corey, and I'm sometimes somewhere else.
Woo! Hi, hey. Ben, Steve, and Corey. Great to have you in my Santa Fe.
Coming to you live from Santa Fe.
We've been on the road from Western New York for 3.5 hours now. During the fucking bombogenesis blizzard hurricane Matt, what's it called? What are they calling it?
Is it Grayson?
Winter storm?
It's Winter Storm Grayson.
Winter Storm Grayson.
Like Dick Grayson.
Yeah,
I was gonna say that's the coolest name for Robin ever.
Bombo Storm. Yeah, Dick Grayson.
Last night, my father-in-law was like, "So, when are you going to MAGFest? You know, you're driving into a nor'easter, right?" And I'm like, "Don't tell me that." The night before, I want to believe everything's gonna be fine.
Ooh.
And everything is fine. We are west of this terrible storm that is apparently ravaging the whole of the East Coast.
As I read, death toll rises in Winter Storm Grayson.
Okay.
How many have perished?
I'm trying to find out.
I gotta point out, like, the placebo effect does not affect the weather.
just in case.
Two people were killed when their vehicle slid off a road in North Carolina.
In North Carolina?
Yeah. Well, because that's what their fear was that the... it was going to do the most damage and have the biggest problem down there because they have no way to deal with anything.
God, the South can't deal.
Well, no, it makes sense. You know, they don't have the expertise to drive in the snow. They don't have the plows to drive in the snow.
Because that's the thing. It was a shit ton of ice. So even up in Buffalo, if there was that much ice, it'd be a problem.
Yeah. It's scary either way. Yeah. And apparently today, like, most of New England, like, eastern Long Island is, like, it's all just going to get... Boston's going to get 3 feet of snow.
Yeah.
It's going to be nuts up there. Stay safe if you are in the path of Winter Storm Dick Grayson.
And you're listening to this in the past.
And you're listening to this.
And if you're...
if you're stuck in your home without power and this is your only source of entertainment...
Don't answer the door for Dick Grayson.
Don't answer the door for Dick Grayson.
That's just good advice.
Yeah. That's all around.
So, we are on our way to MAGFest 2018. We're doing some stuff. Yeah. You know, Fat Gatsby's official presence is rather light this year. I believe Fat Gatsby proper is only presenting one panel.
So this is more like a Diet Gatsby.
This is Diet Gatsby.
Enjoy. On a diet.
Tastes great. Fills you up, though.
Oh, wait,
fills you right up. Because that's how Fat Gatsby rolls.
No less satisfying.
No less satisfying. Very satisfying. Always be satisfied. we're not sick at all.
Nope.
We've been coughing. Ben and I especially.
Yeah.
Have
no,
been
we're good.
Just coughing this entire time. But we're not sick. We're fine.
Yep.
Don't worry about us. Two people have already died.
If we die, it's not because we're sick.
It's no.
No matter what the papers say.
Do not believe the fake news.
Don't believe what you read.
I'm just kidding. We're both sick.
Okay.
We're going to die on this car.
We might not. Corey, if I don't make it, take the wheel.
That's going to be really hard for the back seat, but I'll try.
MAGFest.
Yeah.
That's the reason we're here. We are, so I'm looking at, I perused the guidebook for MAGFest this year, and I got, if there's one thing that I'm kind of particularly interested in making sure I try to catch, it is that Transformers the Movie composer Vince DiCola is going to be performing something. Honestly, I mean, the only music I've ever heard by Vince DiCola is the soundtrack to Transformers the Movie and the soundtrack to Transformers Angry Birds, the mobile game, which my daughter enjoys.
Transformers Angry Birds.
Huh. I don't know if it's a great game, but, like, the soundtrack's pretty rockin'. It's straight up Vince DiCola. Oh, he also did the music to Transformers Devastation, which is actually a really good video game by Platinum. Nice. So, yeah, I'm really only familiar with his Transformers au revoir. I trust that that will be the entirety of his set. I don't know. I guess we'll find out what Vince DiCola gets up to these days. How about you guys? Is there anything in particular that you're looking forward to? It's all Scott Core now. He's transitioned. He's had this late career transition. That's just what he's into now.
That's where I am, guys.
It's what puts the butter on his toast these days. Exactly. It's just...
Like event, yeah. At some point, Sting just got only interested in medieval music for some reason, and that's all he ever played. That's just what happened. You know, artists get older and they grow. Yeah. You know, I was wondering the other day, like, when you're like a band that's been around for forever, and so like when you tour and like you perform all the same hits, you're like, you're performing a piece of art that maybe you wrote when you were like 22 years old, and you're like not the same person, but you're still expressing that thing in the same. Like at that point. Do you still, like, believe in what you're singing about? Like, yeah, man, this was really poetic. This still resonates with me today. Or are you like, I play it because the kids love it, but, like, God, this is such fucking kids bullshit.
Like, man, what a stupid shit I was what back then.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, there's also the flip side of where, yeah, it might have been a really great song, and they do still, it does still resonate with them, but they've played it so much that...
That they're sick of
they're sick of it and hate it and can't listen to it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that happens, too, but, like... You know, I feel like it'd be like looking back on some like, some poetry that you wrote in high school or college, like which was really important to you at the time, but is just embarrassing now.
That's why I only wrote funny shit.
That's why all the shit I wrote was really good, actually. You can read it all
really
in my
great
blog.
Editing process.
Oh, joke's on you. I never wrote good poetry. I wrote that stuff down. I'm like, I guess this doesn't really convey my emotions properly, and I just crumple it up and throw it in the trash.
So anyway, are you guys looking forward to anything particular this weekend?
I haven't looked at the thing at all.
Oh, Ben.
So I'm just looking forward to seeing people, and yeah.
Ooh, an adult outlet. Finally, a store for grown-ups.
Yay.
Trucks welcome.
Sometimes I just don't feel comfortable because I don't feel like there's a place for me as a grown-up.
Exactly, right? Everything these days is for the young people.
Yeah, right.
I want a store for adults.
At the same time, I want my adult outlet to have a ball pit.
That's not unreasonable.
Yeah. Oh, really, we're all children at heart.
And jerk offers.
Yeah, jerk offers.
Ball pits and jerk offers.
Private viewing booths and a ball pit. What? Right lane closed.
Oh.
Oh, all these trucks need to move.
At least they're nice and they say, please slow down. I feel in New York State, it's just slow down. There's no, like, niceties to it.
Yeah, well, they're really aggressive. They're, like, click it or ticket. Like, yeah, they're not being subtle there.
Well, they've got catchy, we've got catchy slogans, at least. Down throughout Pennsylvania, I've been seeing signs that just sort of, just straight, like, nag you. Like, they said, don't tailgate. That's
yeah,
it. That's the sign.
That's true.
I was like, beware of aggressive drivers. Like, do you have a problem with aggressive drivers?
Do I
need to?
Do you want to fight about it?
That's all you can do is put up a sign like, our drivers are assholes. All we can do is tell you to watch out.
Well, just like
we'll
how...
put up this passive-aggressive sign about aggressive drivers.
Just like how Australia was used for convicts, Pennsylvania was used to house aggressive drivers. So
that's
they have a real problem.
Where they send them all.
Yes.
Wait, are you sure it's Pennsylvania, not Massachusetts?
Yeah.
Oh, Massachusetts is terrible. The drivers, I mean. I agree with you.
It's the only place where I've had someone cut me off at a stop sign. On a blind teak intersection.
Hey, buddy, it's a stop sign, not a lay down and die shine.
So that's I'll show you that Griffin. Sign if you want.
So. Anyway. Anybody?
So the glorious wonder that will be MAGFest.
Yeah, yes. What are you going to do this weekend? What are you planning on?
Well, I can't exactly remember what the lineup of music is, but I will definitely be down to check something out at some point, because this place be jamming.
Yeah.
And much like Ben, like my big major draw is generally the company, because you guys rock my socks.
Woo!
For real.
I love you guys. But, it's always a good time. Checking out the dealer room. Playing video games, just hanging and chilling.
Fucking tailgate. Don't you tailgate. Don't do it.
Well, that's right. He's going to be sandwiched between those two semi trucks, and it's going to be hilarious. He's trapped now. Oh, they're going to box his ass in.
They are tailgating his ass. Look at that. Pennsylvania.
You should probably be aware of those drivers. They look like they're driving a little aggressive.
Yeah, so I have a MAGFest tradition of always missing the best musical act and then hearing about it on the ride up.
Isn't the best musical act often a per person sort of decision?
You know that but it always sort of pans out.
Oh, okay.
Like then often on the ride back, someone will have purchased that said best music, whether it's the Proto Men who's that other band that I love that I'm blanking on now?
Well, I remember the one year the Bluegrass Band. Matsu come down, and that was
Fucking Nobuo. Oh, yeah. Missed that.
Lonely Rolling Stars. I don't know if you're looking forward
Bluegrass.
To that.
Yeah, the Bluegrass. They played the Mag Prom.
Oh, them. Oh, who was that?
I bought their. I'm blanking on their name right now. I wish we could plug them. I'll tell you when I remember. Yeah. But
we'll dub our voices over.
Yeah, fix it in post. Fix it in post.
I can't believe I forgot the name of Love Cannon.
Yeah.
It's Love Cannon.
It's Love Cannon.
Yeah. That's actually
where my mind went when you said Bluegrass, honestly.
I always miss the best band, and then I find out about them, and then I buy their shit, because, they always turn out to be an amazing band, so... I don't know what I'll miss this year. It'll be great, I'm sure.
So you're saying you're looking forward to missing a band that you will then be able to discover later?
For the sake of tradition, Corey.
I love going to MAGFest. I get to not go to anything.
We honor my people's tradition. Let's see. What are Brett and Darren playing during their power hour this year? Does anybody know?
They're playing track and field.
Yes.
They need
power
mats.
That's why they need the power mats, yeah.
And heavy drinking and exercise go great together.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Ooh.
Should there be buckets on standby? I'm just...
No. It's all...
No, fuck them. They made their bed. They can sleep in it.
I'm saying for the convenience of anyone that has to clean that up, because...
They're the ones that have to clean it up. It's their suite.
Right, but then the rest of us have to deal with the smell until they clean it up.
Honestly, in all the time that they've done this, neither one of them have puked outside the bathroom.
To be fair, they will already be running by the time they have to throw up.
Right. They will just increase their speed.
Assuming they're not, like, cheating at the long jump and just stepping off the pad.
That's a good idea.
You never did that?
No, because I'm not a frickin' cheater.
Fat chubby kid when I was little. It was way easier than actually trying to jump in the air.
You had a power pad when you were little?
Fuck yeah.
I don't think I ever saw one in person, like when I was a kid.
I never used one. We could have rented one from our local video store.
They rented those?
Yeah. Yeah, we could rent video games, and we did, and it usually gummed up our NES. But you could also rent the controllers and stuff.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
You say gummed up the NES, you mean got all over the
so like just splooge all over.
There's so much splooge. Basically anytime we rented a game from there,
the cartridges are dirty
are dirty, and so leave stuff behind, and then the rest of our games wouldn't play well and blah blah blah. So we had to buy the cleaner for it, whatnot.
Who's taking these NES games, renting them, and then dipping them in pop like celery and ranch dressing?
It's not so much dipping them in pop, but you remember the old way that you got them to work was you blew on them. Well, you had kids that were blowing on them after eating or whatever. You get shit in them, and that's what happens. I mean,
my daughter
hugs
like
a ham coming out of there.
No shit. Like these kids were eating shit for dinner.
My daughter does not understand, like very begrudgingly like when she wants to play a video game and have a snack at the same time. And I'm like, no, you finish your snack, then wash your hands, then you pick up my goddamn controllers. Like, she doesn't understand. She doesn't know why, but this is how she will have grown up. Like, I will not allow her to, her little grubby little mitts don't get on the DualShocks until she washes the fucking Cheeto dust off of her hands. And she doesn't understand why. She's like, I licked them clean. No, that's worse. Now you've turned it into this thick, sticky paste.
Yeah. Dave, your daughter is disgusting.
She can't. She's not a disgusting kid, but she's a child. This is the way children are.
Yeah.
And like, I can't sit there and monitor her playing fucking Mario Odyssey all day. I need to walk away and do stuff. I gotta put away the snack dishes that she's used.
Hey, at least she's using dishes.
At least she's using dishes.
Wait, she's playing Mario Odyssey with a DualShock controller?
Yeah. Yes.
We're calling bullshit out.
Yeah. Right.
So, anyway,
I don't
Mag
use dishes.
Fest.
I just overturn my controllers and use the back of them.
Just turn them around. Use them again.
Yeah.
Turn them inside out. Use them again.
It's not where the buttons are. It doesn't matter.
You can reach the buttons from behind. You just reach around.
Yes.
Yeah. Good old-fashioned video game controller reach around.
It does get pretty tricky because like everything's reversed, though. But
yeah. Right.
I don't care. I don't even care.
I don't even care. I'll do it.
But at least I'm eating my fried egg.
Sunny side up. Over.
On a slightly more serious note, I am glad that the weather did not prevent us from coming down today as opposed to tomorrow, because
knock
I know
on wood
that
paneling.
Knock on wood paneling. I know that at some point this evening we are
as we see a sign that says winter weather conditions, roads may be slippery.
Okay.
Be aware of aggressive roads.
At some point this evening, there's going to be sort of a small, unofficial gathering and tribute to our late friend of the show, Charles Margolis, who passed away last year. So I don't know the full story. So he donated his X-Men cabinet.
X-Men,
he donated the X-Men cabinet.
Whatever player X-Men cabinet.
To MagFest.
That has the Colossus Roar as part of the when it's waiting to be used mode.
So... So is that why he's credited with sort of inadvertently beginning it? Or?
Yeah, because it was there and it kept making the noise and people copied it and then it just kind of hung on and people kept doing it.
Wow.
So, yeah. He donated the goddamn...
Cabinet
to MagFest, which
is amazing.
Amazing. It's going to be a bittersweet MagFest.
Yeah, yeah. And it's going to be enormous.
Yeah.
It's going to be densely populated.
Yes.
I don't think that's changed from last year.
Rob's not. No, I think they've been steadily growing-ish. I don't know if they're still growing or not. Like, I know there's a limitation to how many people they can fit in that place.
Yeah.
Just due to fire code and whatnot.
That's how space
works. Or how far away people will stay in order to get to MagFest.
Right.
Once the air, hotels in the immediate walking distance are
right.
gone, people are like, well, how far do I really want to drive to go to a convention?
But honestly, with Lyft and Uber, and apparently they have discount codes that you can use with MagFest,
Cool.
They're doing their best.
Yeah.
We give those codes to you, but you're listening to this from the future.
Right.
The future! A much more cultured place than now. Hopefully.
Actually, so this is going to wind up being a fully produced podcast with intro and outro music that we can just export, and I don't know if there's a way to post it from my phone. But
I can do it on my...
Ben can probably figure it out.
I can do this shit.
Yeah?
He's a whiz.
Sure, why not?
You might be able to listen to this later today if That'd Ben be cool. can figure that out.
If I can figure it out, I will let you listen to it later today.
All right.
Oh, with his permission. Or, he will let you listen to
you
it.
You have to contact me on AIM. SkinnyB12. Or Chimney Pete, whichever you prefer. I'll even accept the male Gina Davis. All real AIM names, all dead.
If his away message is up, it's not because he's not there. It's just he thinks it's funny.
I think it's funny. I want to see who reads it. But yeah. Well, if we can do it, we'll fucking put it up. Fucking A, man. Let's do it.
So it is like a week and a half after Christmas now. It's 4 days after New Year's. We're all, I'm sure, it's like recovering from post-holiday busyness. I don't know how you guys spend the holidays, but for me it is the whole month of December is both of my daughter's birthdays are like within the few weeks before a weird billboard.
Right.
We just might like stop talking at any minute to admire the weird ass billboards that
are on. It's the second one I've seen from that series.
That is
a woman in a trench coat looking for antiques.
Do you think she'll ever find them?
I'm not sure. Red Rabbit looks fun.
Man, Kermit San Diego is really downsized.
Yeah. She got rid of her red hair.
Now she's just looking for antiques.
Yep.
Did anyone, play some good games or see some good movies over the holidays? Or did you get anything cool for Christmas this year that you want to mention? I asked for these controllers by a company called 8-Bit Do that makes replica like NES and SNES.
Oh, really?
Bluetooth
cool.
controllers.
Oh.
And these are the ones that they look and feel like Super NES controllers, but they also have thumbsticks and extra triggers.
Oh, nice.
So they've got like the full complement of modern buttons. They are extraordinary. I got one with North American purple buttons and one with like global rainbow buttons.
Oh.
They feel like the real deal.
North American purple.
I mean, Super NES purple styled button, yeah. two-tone
okay.
purple style button.
As opposed to
the rest of the world, the Super Famicom buttons, which were rainbow.
Which, if you bought a third-party controller for
they were usually
Super Nintendo,
rainbow.
They were usually rainbow.
And so those are some of the coolest things. Oh, and I got Mario Kart. I got Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, which. And these 8-bit do control, you can use them on almost any platform because they're Bluetooth, but they're specifically made to be compatible with Switch. So,
oh, really?
Me and my wife and my daughter, we did some 3-player Mario Kart. Oh. They had fun.
That's sweet.
So yeah, we're nice. kicking it old school. Ben, you get anything? Do anything fun over the holidays?
I didn't get anything. It was my son's first Christmas,
Aww.
So we kind of focused on that, and we're traveling around. I did get to see my sister. First time in about a year, she got to meet my son.
Aww.
It was adorable.
Well, what games did your son get for Christmas?
He got a Fisher-Price dog that when you put the blocks on the center console, it tells you what is written on the block, basically.
What?
So, and there's three different modes. And I'm looking at it, and I'm just like, damn, this is amazing technology. And then I start to... work it backwards in my mind, because what happens is the same dog's voice says what's on the blocks. It comes with 8 to 10 blocks. I don't remember what the number is. But you can buy extra block packs for a fee, of course.
Okay.
All of these blocks are already pre-programmed in there because the voice isn't with the block. The voice is built
into
the unit.
Machine.
So it's all a freaking
This is fucking on-disk DLC.
It is. It basically is. You need the access code, which is the block, to access the rest of the voice for the dog.
Those motherfuckers at Fisher-Price support your local Buffalo business.
So I started taking it apart, and...
Dude, that voids the warranty.
No, as soon as he's old enough where he's not going to use it, and we're not having any other kids, that fucker's coming apart. I'm going to figure some shit out.
You'll find that people, like, will give your child toys that, like, they're just on the cusp of outgrowing, and you're like, thanks, we might, like... And then you open it up, they'll play with it once, and then...
Yes.
Fuck it.
So you can go online in a couple of years and look up the instructional video that Ben put up as to how to unlock your Fisher-Price talking dog toy.
So you opened this up?
No, I'm kidding. I want you badly, though. I mean, this is me as a child basically saying to all the things that my kid is getting, I'm opening that fucker up at some point. Because all of his toys are, like, electronic in some way.
Dad, where's my toy?
Best one, though. I shouldn't say... I think I said I didn't get anything. That's a lie. I did get stuff for Christmas, and I'm very thankful for it. I don't want to gloss over that. But I didn't get, like, video games or anything. I haven't played a video game, and I don't fucking know how long.
No, because you have a child.
Because one day, that I had time to do it. I turned on my computer, had Windows updates, and then I had to do Steam updates, and then the baby started crying. So, fuck me.
Yep.
But he, my mother-in-law got him another toy, Fisher-Price, and it's a little mini keyboard that he can play around on. And I'm like, oh, that's cool, and I start playing some songs, and I'm like, oh, that's weird, I can't play the whole thing, it must span two octaves, all right, whatever. Not really thinking about it. We get home, and I'm looking at it. They made a keyboard that doesn't have all the keys for an octave.
So for even one octave?
It cuts off at G and G-sharp. So there are, like, anyone that knows what a piano looks like, you generally have the keys that are divided up where you have the three white and the two black, and then the four white and the three black, and that makes an octave. Easy enough to comprehend. So take two of them off on the end, and it looks symmetrical because you have four black keys all together, and that's what they gave you. So there are a shit ton of songs
that you just can't.
You just can't play because you're missing two keys.
How advanced do you think your child is?
I don't care how advanced he is. I'm trying to play him fucking songs, and I can't do it. So
you've got do, re, mi, fa, sol, la.
Yep.
And the half steps in between.
No, I think I got T, so I think I'm just missing.
Oh, you got up to T?
Oh, no. T would have been G, right? Because it goes C to C, right? When you do do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do.
Well, it can go C to C, it can go G to G, whatever you want.
I shouldn't say that. So it's missing T, do. You're right.
That's bullshit. If it had T, then at least you could go hit the do down the octave.
Yes, you could do this full octave, and you could fake most of the song. So, but it is an adorable, looks like a giraffe, and he does have fun playing it and putting it in his mouth. So I can't fault them for that. But I'm trying to think of the reason why Fisher-Price would be so lazy as to leave off two keys.
So you're angry because you can't play your kid's toy.
I'm also angry that it's supposed to be.
It's musically incorrect.
Yeah, like it's not. You will not come across that in if you're playing music. So I kind of feel like it's.
So you're worried your toddler will grow up with an incompatibility with actual pianos based on the giraffe keyboard he had when he was a toddler.
Yes, I do.
A newish installation at the Strong Museum of Play is a Crayola crayon sort of piano.
Yeah.
Like each of the crayons are pianos. It is one octave missing T.
Really?
Yeah. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, do.
Maybe
it's just straight up missing a note. It completes the octave, but just left one out.
This is what happens when you ask artists to do music.
Hold on. Well, this is. What are they doing for education now? Like, it's they switched over to a different system for like learning math.
Oh God, they do that like every other year.
Yeah. So like maybe that's what this is.
It's
maybe
the new music.
It's the new math. The new music.
They need to figure out what T is.
That's the thing. Like music.
Mr. Root available. I'll accept.
Ooh. Music is one of those things that doesn't change how you would do it an awful lot. There's two different camps. One is learning by sound. One is learning by sight. Sight, like reading music versus hearing how it plays.
Yeah.
There's pros and cons to both. Leaving notes out doesn't help anyone. It's just really difficult to do. So, I don't know. That's just where I'm at with that. I had a delightful time. I got to see family. I got to see a lot of people from out of town. It was very busy. But we did have... It was a fun first Christmas for him, though. He probably won't remember an awful lot.
No.
But it was still good. He figured out how to unwrap some presents on his own. So that was
cool. Yeah. That's some fun destruction.
Shimmy up to a tree and just start ripping.
Oh yeah, we had to get a tiny tree and like put it up on a high table this year so that we didn't get ornaments ripped off and trees pulled down and toppling.
Yeah.
Small children.
Always unpleasant.
So that was mine. Corey?
Well, as far as like getting video games, you include things that are obtained with gift cards?
Yeah.
Those don't count as video games.
can you still play them?
Well, I can purchase video games with them, like if someone gave me like something for Steam or GameStop or whatever.
Yeah,
because most of my family realize the platforms I play on, but they don't know games, so they don't bother to give me anything.
Yeah,
like, right. Here's a gift card, because I don't know.
What'd you end up getting?
One of the things I wound up getting is I got a DLC for one of the games that I really enjoyed playing called Ark Survival Evolved.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Because they recently came out with the Aberration expansion. And really, whoever thought of that game, like, read my mind as, like, an elementary student and just pulled out all the things that I freaking loved. I'm like, oh, we've got, like, a survival element. Very cool, very cool. We get guns and dinosaurs and freaking fort built. I'm like, sold. I was all over that. And Aberration's a lot of fun. It can be a little unforgiving, but that is the way of but yeah, love screwing around with dinosaurs, shooting things, and building awesome structures.
That's cool.
I've always been sort of, I mean, that game's very popular. I feel like I see it on, you know, like Steam lists all the time. And,
yeah.
And so I obviously the word survival is right there in the name.
Oh, yeah.
But I have always sort of wondered, like, what exactly is the focus of the game? Because it looks sort of first-person shooter-ish, but I wasn't sure if it was... So there's a building element, too? Like, is it, like,
crafting? Oh, yeah, there's absolutely a building. Building, a crafting, and a taming element, because there are different creatures and dinosaurs in the game that you can tame and then use to better gather resources or defend yourself or so on and so forth.
Can you tame a pterodon?
Yes, you can.
Yay.
But not in the expansion.
Oh, really?
One of the things about the expansion is it all happens in a cave, so there's a huge verticality aspect to it that is the actual challenge. So the higher you get, or lower you get, the more challenging things become and different things you have to deal with. Huh. So to emphasize that difficulty, they took out all of the flyers in the game. If you have the base game of Ark or some of the other expansions, absolutely there are, like, pterodons and, like, giant eagles that you can fly around on and quetzals and all sorts of crazy things. Huh. Yeah, no, it's a great time. And then
that's cool.
Get a saddle on it, ride all over the place. Murder things with a T-Rex.
As you do.
Oh, as you do.
As one does.
You know, you can't... Can you build things with, like, a Brontosaurus, like the Flintstones?
Like, out of a Brontosaurus?
No, like, you use them as a crane.
Oh. Sorry. You don't murder them and stack their bones.
So some of the dinosaurs are better at gathering certain kind of resources. Things like the Brontosaurus or Diplodocus are great at gathering berries.
Who's better at gathering science. Bones of humans?
Virtually any predator. there are so many. I know one of the new animals is called a Ravager.
Ooh.
Which you encounter very early in the game of the new edition of Ark.
That's an herbivore, right?
No, they totally...
they like ravage those face. Plants.
They like to ravage.
Ravage it. Oh, vegetables just want to... Just go up. How do you collect berries? How does a Brontosaurus collect berries so that it's useful for you? Like, do you have
with
to, like,
its ass, apparently. It's just its long tail. It just sweeps it all up and you just...
Pick it
up through the debris, I suppose.
See, I'm picturing, like, the Brontosaurus is eating the berries, and you just kind of have to, like...
Oh, stick your hand up its butt and pull
them
out.
Jesus, man, just reach into its mouth. Or pick them out of their teeth or something, I don't know.
Rather than having to, like, go through their stool.
No, it's got, like, a big tail sweep attack, and that, like... And then it just goes straight into its inventory.
Its inventory.
Yeah, all the dinosaurs have an inventory.
They have their own separate inventory.
So I guess, yeah, you are kind of going through the mouth and picking things out of its stomach. That's only if you're really thinking about it, like, conceptually.
Which I'm not sure how else you would think about it. Because once you start thinking about it...
Well, once you have the...
You're going to be like, where are these berries?
Well, once you have a saddle on the thing, you could assume that it's going into some
there's
kind
like
of...
there's, like, a saddle.
Oh,
saddle.
Okay,
yeah.
I see.
I figured as soon as it was tamed, it would get, like, a different... like texture on it that looked like saddlebags. I'm not saying that you put a saddle.
Oh no, you actually have to make a saddle to to utilize the creature in that fashion.
Right, but if you get it trained so that it can sweep off all of these berries, as soon as it's trained to that point, why not add the texture of the saddlebags? I'm not saying a saddle, just like bags hanging off either side of it.
Right.
Like those weights that you put on dogs to make them more tired when you take them for a walk.
That's a thing.
Oh, yeah. Huh. You should get some.
I should.
But, yeah. So that way, you don't have to imagine where you're getting these berries from.
Well, sometimes I think they're still ironing out a lot of the stuff within the game, because every once in a while I'll find something like a Triceratops in a tree.
Sure.
I mean,
part of that has to do with,
like... It's a Triceratops.
Right.
It's a tree, a Triceratops. Well, part of that happens that because, like...
Fine. Everything's fine.
The expansion happens, like I said, it's in a big cave. So stuff will apparently sometimes fall from, like, the higher levels down to the lower levels, which is what I'm assuming happened, and it just stopped on a tree and just didn't move.
Yeah, and just stayed
there. So I just look up, and there's a Triceratops just sitting on top of a very small tree. I'm like, ah.
If he landed in a tree, he'd be frightened to fall further.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you have to get firemen to come by.
I'm glad to know this game is so thoroughly, like, historically researched.
Oh, yeah.
So can you rescue him with a brontosaurus using it like a...
What's that?
Can you rescue it using a brontosaurus like a crane?
Yeah, or you can just chop the tree down and it'll fall down the rest of the way and be fine.
Oh, okay. Right.
And then it's your friend forever. Or murders you. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. I think it could be pretty ornery after being in a tree.
Yeah.
So it might be hard to win it over.
Triceratops can be a little ornery, just from time to time.
Corey, I found myself pondering the gift card dilemma when So my dad is a board gamer, and I am a video gamer.
Okay.
My dad plays board games, not video games. I play video games and not board games, particularly. I'm not against board games. I'm just not, like, super into it.
Right, you're not anti-board game, you're just...
I'm not anti-board game. I'm just, yeah. Like,
you've got other interests, and those take up your time.
So I happened to read an article that was, like, a very good review of a board game that I had never heard of.
Okay.
And I thought, I should get this for my dad for Christmas. But then the thought occurred to me, like...
What if he already owned it?
I could probably figure out if he already owned it, but my question is, like, it may be a good, popular, well-reviewed board game, but that doesn't mean it's the kind of game that he would like. You know, like...
You don't know his personal board game
His personal board game taste. Like, maybe I think I do, but I don't know enough about the mechanics of board games that I could extrapolate that if he likes this, he will also like that.
Like, if it didn't come with dice, he'd be super pissed.
Yeah, it'd be like,
What do you mean I can't roll dice? What is this shit?
Like, a layperson might read a good review of a Call of Duty game and think that I would like that. Like, oh, this is a good... Yeah. Or like a Madden game. Like, this is a highly reviewed game. I bet Dave would like that. But that's just not the kind of game that I like or play.
Right.
So rather than do that, I was going to chance it because I wanted to, like, in a way, I wanted to take credit for, like, well, maybe I'm discovering a game that he, like, doesn't know a lot about.
Yeah.
You know, maybe.
Because it always feels good to have, like, that one discovery where, like, they get to discover it as well and you get to feel responsible for that.
Exactly,
yeah.
And then I realized, no, that way lies hubris. I will never, like, surprise him with a game he's never heard of. That's totally wishful thinking. Like, again, imagine the opposite. Like, Dave, like, here's a new video game I bet you've never heard of. I've probably heard of it, and I probably it's just not on my radar because it's nothing I care about. So instead of doing that, what I ended up doing is I creeped onto his BoardGameGeek.com wish list.
Okay.
And then, just bought some of his, like, most wanted, like, top picks instead. So.
Oh, well, that seems like an easy win, then.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And he seemed thrilled and delighted that I got him exactly the things that he was hoping for.
There you go.
And sometimes that's the important part.
So I'm a good son.
Yay. I just like to murder dinosaurs.
Steve, how are your holidays?
Not too bad, isn't it? I got a lot of nephews and nieces at this point, so it's kind of, like, tricky to buy for all of them. Like, be aware of what they're...
They're all different ages. They all, like...
Yeah, exactly. My go-to for any boy is a Nerf gun.
Yeah.
It may have been a mistake to give a Nerf gun to such a young child because he liked to shoot people in the face.
How young are we talking?
He's 3.
Oh!
Oh, yeah. That's probably face shooting age.
Terrible twos, the face shooting threes.
They call them that for a reason.
Yeah. So,
because well, at least he hasn't gotten up to the junk gunning fours.
Got another nephew. He really likes to fish. Like, he's really into fishing, which is, I don't know, I don't get it.
He's an outdoorsman.
Yeah. So I bought him the most expensive gift that I got anybody, which was, like, a booklet on, like, all of the fish that live in the Great Lakes streams and lakes.
Oh. It's a thoughtful gift.
Yeah, and he looks at it, and he's just kind of like, it's not a Nerf gun. He just kind of throws it back.
He was the one kid that got the present that was not fun.
I'm like, look, that's a sturgeon. It's right there.
I thought you loved this stuff. Yeah, but I like shooting stuff, too.
It's a Nerf gun. Fishing. Just shooting it in the water. Modded them so they stick on and you can reel them back in.
Yeah, I should have gotten a fisherman's bow. He would have loved that. Sorry, Wes.
Yeah, I've been sort of waiting to open up the potentially endless Pandora's box of getting my daughter Nerf guns. Because, you know, I'm not sure. I mean, you know, it's been, now that they make them, like, pink and expressly designed for ladies.
Yeah.
But I don't know if she'll, like, want one or if she'll, like, be interested in it and just want to, like, now we got to get a whole bunch of extra little just foam darts that we'll be finding behind the couch for the next 5 years.
You know, I got to say, we had a lot of Nerf guns, and my brother and I bought a lot of them with our, like, money that we earned from odd jobs, whatever. What's the word I'm looking for? Doing household chores, that's it. Not odd jobs. We ran packages at Pavilion. Our parents never bought us extra darts or anything. We had to police our own foam. And I think it taught me how to be more frugal with things and how to take time when shooting a Nerf gun. You got
limited ammo.
Oh, I didn't hit him at all. No, you fucking line up your shot, whether you got the bow and arrow with the Nerf arrow on the end or your Gatling gun.
Oh, yeah, because you only get, like, three of those things.
Right. Yeah. You can only fit three on at a time. You take your time with all of your shots, and you make them count. And that's a philosophy I still use today.
Take your time with the shots.
When I'm shooting people.
Make them count.
Grew out of them.
Patrol your own foam.
It's very well into the horror survival genre.
Yeah.
So I did pick up for the oldest son. I picked up two video games because I visited in Thanksgiving, and you know we were just kind of killing time, and he had like the Call of Duty zombie survival game.
Okay.
And first of all, I had never played this game before.
Yeah.
I don't play a lot of first-person shooters, and if I do, they're going to be on a computer and not on a console. So, long story short, I don't know what I'm doing. And he's just kind of like, yeah, you're not really good at this. You're not good at video games, are you? Yeah. And I look at him like, the face. Like, I play Bloodborne. Like, you don't even know.
You're not really good at
you don't
video
know
games.
What art is. So,
that's adorable.
I went to Oogie.
And Oogie Games.
I picked him up because he has an Xbox, so I couldn't get him Bloodborne. Otherwise, right. That's what was going to happen. So instead, I got him Dark Souls.
All right.
And I said, that's a little mean. I should probably get him a fun game as well. And so I asked my brother what's a good, like, age rating for him.
How old
is he? He is, I think, 12 or 13.
Okay.
That's important to this story. So I basically had it narrowed down to two games which I knew people liked and were fun. The first one was Witcher.
Okay.
And
Witcher 3? Wild Hunt?
Witcher 3. The having sex on a unicorn game.
Perfect for 12. I didn't get to that point yet. What the hell?
So I'm looking at it. I'm like, I know about the unicorn. I know about the lighthouse.
And do I do this to my brother?
My brother expressly said that he has no, like, parental control level as far as video games for his child. So I'm like, No, I can't do it.
So did he tell you that as like a warning to you, like I don't lock anything out, so be careful what you choose, or like I don't care what my kid plays, man. He's got to learn sometime.
Well, I asked him last year because you know, I was gonna get him like a more like gun violent game. I can't even remember what I bought, but
instead you got a Leisure Suit Larry.
But I ended up getting him Phantom Pain instead. Don't know how much sexiness there is in that, but it didn't say anything about it in the back. Like, you know, there were suggestive themes.
Yeah, there's a scantily clad character whose state of undress.
Right, and if he, if he's at the age where that's gonna, you know, make him flip out, then he's old enough for it.
Flip out what they're calling it then?
What?
Just flip out what they're calling it now?
Yes. I don't know. Just.
Or flip off, or.
Flipped out several times during this podcast. It's the vibrations of the road.
Right.
Hey, whatever gets you going.
No, it's not Corey's hand.
So I gave him both of those games, and I'm like, all right, this one's for fun, and this one's because you made fun of me in college. The gift receipt is on the hard one.
Oh, you did a gift receipt for it?
Yeah.
Oh, but you're missing a part of that. Yeah,
I lied to him. Here's the thing. I lied to him that because I gave him the gift receipt, and I had the original receipt, I could go to that Oogie, the game store where I bought it, and I would know if he returned to that game. So he would admit that game was too hard for him.
So you'd have to, like, check on that on the reg.
Yeah, but he doesn't know that.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure I can't actually do that, but I told him I could.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see. Okay.
Technically check, because if you're if it doesn't read as a valid receipt anymore, you'll have a pretty idea that it was already returned, but
well, there you have it. I could check up on it, and I'm pretty sure he doesn't listen to Fat Gatsby, so
you could also probably ask your brother to see if the game still exists in his house.
Spy. Be my eyes.
I wish I had anyone else in my life. I really have very few other people in my life that play video games that I could like give them as gifts for, because I'm like always on the hunt for a bargain. Just that's where my eyes naturally gravitate. So I feel like I could be gifting a lot of wonderful games at a reasonable price to people.
Yeah.
Steam sales are great.
Well, so my uncle at Thanksgiving, he told me that he hadn't, occasionally my uncle will decide to own a video game system. Like, he owned a PS2 and a PS3, eventually got rid of them, and he said, you know, I'd love to, like, get into a video game. I'd love to, like, just get into one that I can't put down, but, like, I feel like a lot of modern games, I just got sick of, like, Call of Duty style, like, just shooting stuff over and over, and I'm like, I know what you mean. So, for Christmas, what I got my uncle is I made him a Steam account.
Nice.
I gifted him, like, 40 Steam games.
Oh, wow.
Well, I had a whole bunch of leftover, like, Humble Bundle keys. Yeah. So I gave him all of those. Nice. And, like, during the Steam Winter Sale, I bought him, like, every, like, grown-up narrative game that I have loved over the last couple of years. I got him Gone Home, and I got him The Witness. Yeah. I got him Firewatch. I got him, like, all the just, like, this is the opposite of what you have played. This is, like, a thoughtful narrative game that will make you ask deep questions of, you know, like, this is an interactive experience for adults. And and I got him a USB gamepad to play with if he needs that.
Sweet.
I haven't actually gotten to see him so far for Christmas, so.
He's been too busy playing video games. I got 40 of these motherfuckers to play. Who got time for Christmas?
Yeah, so he's going to have, like, a deep library of to choose from.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
I hope he likes it. And I only know that he's a Mac guy and that he usually buys himself the latest and greatest, so I assume his Mac will probably
be good enough to play
most of these, like, indie level games.
Yeah.
The only, like, AAA title that was I had a key for was Shadow of Mordor.
Okay.
Assassin's Creed Middle of Lord of the Rings game. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Nice.
All right. 66 miles.
Whoop, whoop. That's it?
I feel
really?
Bad about the Assassin's Creed.
No, that's not it. So oh. We still got 2 hours.
Oh, okay.
Don't feel bad about the Assassin's Creed series.
Well, like, they're doing when I first started really playing like Assassin's Creed, like, I started to realize that I was spending most of my time just trying to collect shit and not killing people. I'm like, this doesn't feel like an assassin game anymore. I'm just trying to run around and try and collect all these little jangly bits. I'm like, why am I not killing people? I just got frustrated.
Well, you know, everything's permitted in that game.
Yeah.
Everything. I've always wanted to go back and try out the Ezio trilogy. I've still never played the two bro.
Ass Creed
bro.
Yeah. I liked that series. Really dug into like the Desmond Miles character.
Yeah.
Which I freaking loved from the first game. Like I just loved all of the modern day stuff that it was playing with. And
I hear this new one's real good.
Yeah, I heard you don't want to fight crocodiles or hippopotamus. Hippopotamus.
You a hippopotamus.
Never want to fight a hippopotamus.
Those things will mess you up.
Yeah, they will.
I've read recently, I didn't know this, I hear that the new one is good because it's by the team that made Black Flag, which people also love.
Yeah, oh. Black Flag was really good.
Which I also want to play Black Flag at some point. But I'm also at the point where, like, I'm wondering if when I play these games, should I buy them on my most recent console? Or, like, I've heard some of those ports are kind of glitchy and, like, I don't know. Because I have PlayStations, but not... I don't have an Xbox One, so... And I would kind of like to have an Xbox One because I would like to play the 360 library that way. And not on an actual 360.
Not on 360.
I went kind of a weird way because I went with a PS4 because most of the like the Xbox One games I can play on my PC.
Yeah.
I'm like, there's always that PC port, and I'm like, well... If I have all of that library available on my PC, then what am I really missing out on? I'm missing out on, like, a lot of the Sony or Nintendo games that I would possibly be playing.
So yeah.
Sony was the direction I went for my console goodness.
I was, I've barely played any PC games this year. Not for lack, I haven't had the opportunity. Because when I do, either I hole up in my office where the computer is, or I play over my Steam Link, which I think is a great piece of hardware. When it goes on sale for like $5, I think it's the kind of thing everyone should just have around, just in case.
Yeah, I would never pay full price for a Steam Link.
Yeah.
They go on sale so often.
But I was gifted a copy of Cuphead for Christmas by our illustrious host, Tim Ekibus. But it's Windows only, and I have a Mac. So when I want to play a Windows only game, I have to boot camp into the Windows partition.
Yeah.
And so before I played Cuphead, I also wanted to update to Windows, get a free update to Windows 10 before the end of the year while it was still free, because I was still on Windows 8.
Oh, they put it free again?
It's free if you use assistive devices.
Oh, right.
And you can, but like anything counts as an assistive device. A keyboard shortcut counts as using assistive devices. So yeah, I wanted to get that for free before the end of the year. So I had Windows 8 with a key that I borrowed from an older machine. So it was never activated. So it wouldn't let me upgrade to Windows 10. So I had to buy, so I spent $6 on eBay to buy a key for Windows 8.1.
Yeah.
Installed and activated that. And then use that as a legitimate install to update to Windows 10. And then I fucking streamed some Cuphead to my Steam Link, which was flawless. Like, I couldn't detect any lag or anything. For a game like Cuphead, I imagine that's important. And me and my six-year-old tackled Cuphead together.
Nice.
And she thought it was cool, even if she would die, like, pretty instantly. Because that is a hard-ass game.
Clever.
Oh, boy, is it hard. But I thought it was going to be hard in a way that I really wouldn't like. But I'm happy to report that it really is hard in that way, that if you feel like, oh, just give me one more chance, I can do this. And it takes, like, 12 more chances before you finally figure it out. But it's hard in the very best possible old-school boss pattern memorizing way. Like, I see what they're going to do there. Oh, I just need to make sure that I... Like, you figure it out. They make it... You know, it's not...
It's doable.
Yeah, it's not frustratingly hard. Okay. It's a good challenge. And you are still allowed to progress, even if you... Like, you can play on easy difficulty or normal. And this was great, because on normal, you can't, you have to play on normal in order to like officially beat every level. But if you play on easy, you can at least like sort of get to the next area.
Yeah.
You can beat it on, yeah, and you can progress, but you will not have like properly beat the game. Gotcha. So there will be a point, we'll get to a point where we can't progress to the next area because we have to beat everything on normal, but at least we can try stuff out.
Right.
Yeah. We're not held back artificially. It's all really thoughtfully designed.
You don't beat a boss and then fly into a brick wall.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was the one Windows game I played this year.
I think this year's been a big PC game for me. I finally caught up. I got to play Civilization VI.
Oh, yeah, I hear that's very good.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's such a more, like, simplified and refined version of Civ 5.
I heard Civ 5 did a great job of simplifying.
Civ 5 added in a lot of new things because it went from a square grid to a hex grid.
Okay.
And they started adding in a lot new elements, especially as the expansions got on with religion and culture.
Yeah.
And refining how those victories worked in the game. And
I hear Gandhi's usually an asshole in those games. Is that a recurring thing that, like...
I think it's become mostly an in-joke.
Okay.
Because it started when they first started programming, I think it was either the first Civilization or the second, and the way that the AI for the computers would work is they worked on a moving scale, so wherever their aggressiveness was set at, it could be either lower or higher. But Gandhi started with an aggressiveness of zero, so whenever it became less than zero, it would loop around and make him way more aggressive than he should be. So all of a sudden, he became, you know, like this, like, raging war criminal that wanted to burn everything to the ground.
Oh, that's funny as hell. Huh.
Way to go, Sid Meier.
Yeah. But no, like, I've always just been, like, really big into, like, freaking Civilization. XCOM 2, I think that was last year, though.
But there was an expansion for it this year,
there
right?
Was.
It felt like a whole new game.
I haven't played it yet, and I feel awful. But that could be because I threw down when Mass Effect Andromeda came out.
Oh.
And I was really hoping that it would be fixed and it might be better and that they would patch it over time. And then freaking EA announced that we're not going to do any DLC for this game. And then I was heartbroken that they were just like, well, this is a mess. Let's sweep it under the rug.
We disavow ourselves.
Yeah.
And the studio, like, didn't they shut the studio down, too? Or like, consolidated it? Or?
I think they killed everyone.
BioWare? I don't
that's
think
EA for you.
Well,
but this particular, wasn't it, like, BioWare Austin or the BioWare? It was not the core BioWare team.
It
was.
Well, they took off a lot of the production staff to work on their new project, their new IP.
Okay.
The one with the mech suits.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
Because of what they did to Mass Effect, I no longer give a shit. I'm like, no, you murdered a franchise I love.
What are we doing? Why are we slowing down?
It turns out you can still play those other games, though.
Yeah. It's true. It is true.
And if you played through Mass Effect for the first time by being very apologetic and nice to everyone, now you can go through it, punching everybody in the face and throwing people out of windows.
And then you can just kind of go in between and just, you know, whatever. I have put so many hours into the Mass Effect series. It was just sad to see, like, such a great and prestigious series kind of hamstringed by the owning company. Because it wasn't anything that BioWare itself did. It's just EA was moving assets around.
Yeah.
And it got hosed in the long run. That and the fact that they were working with, what was it? I think it was whatever software wasn't even complete at the time.
It was the Frostbite engine, right?
Yeah, it was
the Frostbite engine.
And it wasn't even complete when they were in production for the game. And the fact that they were moving around assets that had worked with it on an incomplete engine.
Yeah.
There was just so many cards stacked against that deck. Ah, it's just awful to behold the Frankenstein that came out of it. Rushed the shelves.
I don't know. I thought it was pretty funny to watch some of those clips.
That was Andromeda. That was a pretty big casualty. This in a year that has been like reportedly everyone says like wow this year has been amazing for video games. It is so sad to see like such a high profile, not mistake, but like corporate mismanagement at that level. Like just at some point, EA has got to step back and be like, every few years, people hate us. What can we do to stop
making
people hate
us? I think this
is a year
of a lot of people hating EA between that and the Battlefield
and Battlefront 2. Oh, man.
Yeah, Battlefront. Yeah. Oh, Star Wars Battlefront caused so much rage.
Yep.
They got a lot of backlash for that. And it uncovered, like, a lot of the stuff about, you know, the whole loot box system and and how broken that game was made to support a loot box addiction.
Freaky shit, yo. King's Kids Campground.
King's Kids?
King's Kids.
Only King's Kids can go there?
Yeah, obviously. That's, the peasant
kind of
children are not allowed
because I think as Americans,
there.
We don't have much royalty.
No, we don't. So actually, no one's allowed to go there.
Well,
so for all you foreign listeners, there is no King of America. It is a lie.
Foreign princes and princesses, absolutely welcome.
Yes.
You may enjoy this campground in Pennsylvania.
Theoretically, illegitimate children of kings and queens as well.
If, I was going to say, we have King Ralph.
We don't. The UK does.
The UK had King Ralph.
And then he abdicated the throne, which made him no longer a king.
That was so noble of him.
It was.
Are you talking about a real person?
Yeah, John Goodman.
Yeah, okay.
He was a king before he was on Roseanne.
I can't wait till they get to that part on The Crown. The King Ralph years were my favorite in all of the British royal history.
You really should think so.
Everyone died because of a faulty wire while taking a group photo.
I'm trying to think of any, like, I don't know, movies or media that I checked out over the holidays.
I feel like one of the few of us that really, like, buckled down and watched a lot of movies over 2017.
I tried at the end, because it's at the end of the year where, like, a lot of the good movies, like, finally hit the streaming services, and maybe I can stay up late and check them out. I did finally see Kumail Nanjiani's The Big Sick.
Oh, did you?
That's a great fucking movie.
I really want to see that.
That's a really good movie. That was almost my favorite movie of the year. So that was a great end-of-the-year surprise, is that I ended up just loving that movie as much as I hoped I would, and, like... And also, I feel bad. Like, Weiss has been talking to me about Kumail Nanjiani for fucking years. And all I've ever known about him is, like, I see him occasionally as, like, a guest star on some comedy show, but, like...
Or X-Files.
I didn't see him on X-Files. I didn't see
the newer ones. Yeah.
He was on X-Files back in the day? He must have been really young and still living in Pakistan. But no, I feel bad that I'm so late to the Kumail party because he's such a funny,
he really is
a funny guy. And like now, Jan wants to like go back and watch Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
After years ago, I made her check out Silicon Valley because I'm like, you love Office Space. It's your favorite movie. You like Mike Judge things. Let's watch this, right? And she totally like we watched the pilot. She didn't like it. Now she wants to go back. She's like, oh, Kumail's funny. Let's watch that.
The humor's a bit more crude in. Silicon Valley.
Oh yeah. The freaking we're watching at work the other day, coming up with the algorithm on how to jerk off the maximum jerk off for guys. Like,
you have to calculate their mean jerk time.
Line them up so they're the same height.
You're making flow charts.
That was so good.
No, other than that, it was mostly just playing half-hour Christmas specials for Julia before bed to get her to go to bed. We watch Emmett Otter every year. Jesus saves.
He does.
As far as movies that came out in 2017, the Blade Runner sequel.
I wanted to see that really bad.
It is, if you haven't seen it, but see it eventually. It is, if you enjoyed the original Blade Runner... This thing is so true to core. It is exactly the kind of Blade Runner sequel it deserved.
That's rare, I think.
Getting
something in a sequel that late after.
Yeah.
That late and stay so true to the original material.
Yeah. Stay there, person.
It is like you see it and you feel it, and it is a Blade Runner movie.
That's awesome.
I don't know the director behind it. Like, I don't know who is he. What else is he? I feel like I knew that he had done a couple of big movies before this, but I didn't. I never recognized his name.
I don't remember.
Anyway, yeah. That's one I wish I had gotten to catch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 was really good this year.
Yeah.
So good, you saw it 4 times.
I did.
In the theater.
It 4 times in the theater.
I saw it once on my phone. I totally would have watched it in the theater. That was a really, really good movie.
Yeah, no, I hear a lot about how much like Michael Rooker steals the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally want to catch that on Netflix before Disney pulls all their shit off of Netflix.
I saw an animated film that was way better than I thought it was going to be. It was actually Coco.
Oh, I do want to see that.
It is phenomenal.
Yeah. Really?
Yes. I was in absolute awe of that movie.
Wow.
It really captures a cultural heartbeat within that entire film. And it's really engrossing. The story is smartly written. The visuals are stunning. And it is just all... when they get to the Land of the Dead, it in itself is just a work of art. And it's such an adventure for the viewer to see everything that they get to discover along with the young protagonist as well.
So you saw it in the theater, right?
I indeed saw Coco in theater.
Did you have to watch the...
Oh, the Frozen short?
What were your thoughts of that?
Because people hate this thing.
Not only do they hate it, but they also think it's insulting that they felt they had to do a Frozen short at the beginning because it's a Mexican story, and they were afraid that like people
white people would see it.
White people like Frozen.
I thought it was just so run of the mill and unnecessary.
Yeah.
Like I'm like it's fine, I guess, but it was 20 minutes long. I'm like. Can you really call it a short for something that runs 20 minutes?
Yeah.
I'm like, this is like one episode of a TV series.
Right, it wasn't advertised that's what was happening.
Like, I put up with it and I got through with it. It was relatively painless, I guess. I don't know.
What are you giggling at over there, Steve?
No, just that... So, Coco, when that was coming out, I saw, like, those freaking... the advertisements for Coco.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at, I'm like, I've seen this movie. Like, I know this movie.
Yeah. When it was called The Book of Life.
Yeah, it was called The Book of Life. Oh. And apparently it was so, like, underplayed and underrated. They just, they're like, let's give it another shot and call it Coco.
No. These two movies are not the same movie. They have different overarching themes, but they handle it in very, very different ways.
But I can also see though how there would be consumer confusion and like if I can see how they would be afraid that looking at a movie like The Book of Life and be like, well, that really underperformed. So if we're gonna do a Mexican culture centered animated film, we'd better take some steps to
was
ensure
Book
that
Life
we...
Disney as well.
No, I think that was DreamWorks.
Oh. That was DreamWorks.
Well, see, I don't think maybe. I still think it's kind of bullshit.
I mean, it came out last year, but, like, right. I can see how they would want... They would be fearful of what happened to Book of Life.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think that they're always fearful of, like, the cultural backlash if they misrepresent the culture.
Wasn't there a little preface before this film, also?
Like, for... Are you talking about, like, when they got a little backlash from Moana because they kind of took all of Polynesian culture and squished it into one thing?
But that's the thing I don't understand. How did they take all of Polynesian culture and squish it into one thing? Just because it was one movie?
Well, they took a lot of aspects from, like, the Hawaiian culture and, like, Maori and...
There's a lot
of little subsets of the Polynesian culture that exist as their own entities.
And they just made it as if it were all one.
Yeah.
I understand you.
Yeah,
okay.
And then that was the Moana...
Yeah.
...Polynesia experience, but...
Yeah.
It was all one thing.
Right. Yeah.
And that's, you know... But, you know, it wasn't quite, like, freaking... Pocahontas levels of backlash.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God damn it.
Somewhere between Pocahontas and Hercules.
But, yeah, no, Coco was, you know, it was a touching movie, too. Like it's funny, it's delightful, it's energetic.
That's
and
good
definitely
to hear.
Towards the end, there's definitely that moment where I'm crying like a 5-year-old.
Yeah. I would put that on my radar then.
Oh, absolutely. I would recommend it.
I have mainly consumed children's videos on YouTube.
Yeah.
Lately,
yeah.
And
the bad ones, right? The ones that are tricks.
The ones that are tricks.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
The ones that YouTube is trying to crack down on because like they present themselves as children's videos.
No,
like...
no, I haven't come across those. Thank God. That's gonna be a scary.
All we ever watch.
Like Spider-Man impregnating Elsa or whatever. Yes, like yeah. That crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
No,
because their algorithms make them shuffle up next.
We am.
Because they're trying to hit on what's popular and then.
Yeah.
We are watching.
It's we am.
We am watching a bunch of different videos. I would say 90% of which are foreign in nature that are in English. So like a lot of them are like the one that comes to mind, my son's favorite video at the moment is Five Little Monkeys Jumping on the Bed.
Okay.
It is done by people that English is not their first language.
Okay.
But I don't know exactly if it's like why can't I think of it? Like Russian or something, or
like
it's
like
Japanese,
Eastern
or
European,
or Chinese. Yeah, Eastern European or Chinese, Asian of some sort.
Who's cramming cultures together?
Not really sure. Well, no, just because it doesn't.
I can't tell the difference.
Well, because they're.
It's not
they're
English.
Singing,
they
they're
don't use
singing
the
in
alphabet.
English, and so it's hard to make out what. Like,
because they're singing, so
yeah,
you don't know
what
the accent
is. You can tell that they're not hitting certain words correctly. And the translation is not 100% either.
Yeah.
So the interesting thing.
So that's how
thing
he's
going
to learn to pronounce these words.
Right. That makes me scared, honestly. I've said it to Cassie, and it falls on deaf ears. But it's what makes him happy at the moment, and that's more of what we're doing is like minimize cry time.
Appease the baby.
This version is by a media company called Flickbox, and. It is Five Little Monkeys Jumping on the Bed. It's animated. And the doctor makes house calls. The doctor comes in, and the doctor is a Hitler version of a monkey. He has the same hair combed over and the little Hitler mustache. No joke. No explanation to this as well.
Just, here's Hitler monkey.
Those of you that don't know Five Little Monkeys, each time the verse goes through, a different monkey falls off the bed, bumps his head, and the doctor has to say, no more monkeys jumping on the bed.
Does he yell it like Hitler?
Parents
like
don't know. A doctor has to tell them each time a monkey shouldn't be jumping on the bed.
I don't think it's his place to parent.
And that's kind of what I feel, but, you know, it was made at a different time.
Does he come in and he's like, Sheffield, no, ma, monkeys!
No, nine. And this is the other fun part about all these videos is that the production value is pretty shit. There's a woman that sings the main parts of it, and then when it comes to the doctor saying, no more monkeys jumping on the bed, it's a guy.
Sorry, thank you for speaking in between my blows.
It's all right.
I'm done now.
It is a guy that sounds like he is talking, singing his lines in a hallway, and there's a microphone at the end of the hallway. So that it's not even like they're done at the same
that's
time.
That's terrifying.
Right?
That's
they didn't have game controls.
Right,
just
right.
Like, no, keep
just,
stepping
just,
back.
Yeah.
You're too loud.
But each time the doctor shows up at the house, he's more and more frazzled. To the point where it's like the third or the fourth, he's standing in the doorway. His hair keeps getting messier and messier, like he's pulling it out before he comes to the same goddamn house again. And on whatever number it is, he's standing in the doorway, and he's, like, seething. His shoulders are rising and sinking, and he is just so angry. And by the fifth monkey, I'm sorry, the sixth time he comes to the house, because there are no monkeys that fell off the bed, but Mom decided to still call the doctor. He shows up, he's seething, sees there aren't monkeys, immediately becomes happy, and says, put those monkeys back into bed. And then there's children's laughter, and it's creepy, and it's done. This is my son's favorite video.
That was a roller coaster ride, man. Sweating.
he's delighted that the doctor turns out happy.
Yeah, I think that's it. The minute that it comes on, he just gets the biggest grin on his face. He's so happy to watch this. But it's really interesting. Like, I think that a
Isn't
lot
it just
of...
like a Schadenfreude kind of effect? Like, oh, they're going to fuck with that doctor. They're going to piss him off so bad.
I think that
that doctor's gonna
a
rage.
Lot of these videos are foreign, done in English as a way to help teach children English.
Oh,
that's kind of why
makes
like
sense.
They're so big. There's a lot of Korean ones, such as Baby Shark, that we listen to every once in a while.
Baby
it actually
Shark.
Has two
But I'd like to point out like how any something can be Eastern European and or Asian and be like, oh, but this one's definitely Korean.
Because I looked up this company, it's Pink Fong, and it's a Korean education company. And they did a song called Baby Shark. I don't know if they were the first ones to do it. But it's really kind of cute because it's animated, but then it's these two kids that are like green screened in, that are singing along, and it's you know, it is what it is. The other ones I can't really find an awful lot about where they originated from.
Isn't it weird how like you'll see just anonymous children's content and you're like, who did this?
So like Flickbox is this one and I don't understand it. Then there's one that's CVS and it's watermarked on a bunch of their videos. So you'll just see this white CVS written in the corner. Oh, laid over top of
like the pharmacy
entire
store?
Video. Like the pharmacy store, but it doesn't stand. It's not the pharmacy. It's some foreign country company. It's just and like the more random ones are a lot creepier. There's one for Bingo that the dog who's farmer who had a dog. Bingo was his name. Just making sure we're all
like,
on the same page.
Yeah, about kids show. Yeah, like. It's not like you like toddlers just like, all
right,
G4,
B5. Right, yeah. Exactly. It's not watching Bingo at a senior center.
Getting the little daubers out.
At one point in the song, this the dog gets scared because a bubble pops on his nose. And so the boy runs over. But what's dubbed over the boy is this, And I immediately think of like, one of those characters from like Zelda for like
an NPC.
Yeah, an NPC just making a random noise, and they use that same exact same sound twice in the video. I just die every time I hear it because it sounds so ridiculous.
I think it's kind of a funny.
Yeah.
My older daughter loves a show that she's found on Netflix, that is, it's a bizarre show and it's bad. But like a lot of effort went into it.
Oh, really?
It is, it's bad, but you can see that someone really, really cared about it. And it is about an American girl who goes to like a boarding school in England somewhere. Like all the other supporting characters are British. And then she has a magic book that transports her to a magical world that is computer generated. So it's live action.
Oh, and computer.
Then there's these computer generated segments. Gotcha. That are like have this just that sort of I'm going to describe as the like Euro style, like it feels like it's French or you know everything just sort of has that sort of color scheme, like Rayman, like the old Rayman games, like you can tell this is French, and so like the writing is bad, the voice acting is pretty bad, and it's got this terrible theme song that sounds like it was sung by a woman who's like, oh, we know this older lady who, like, she does a local cabaret act, and everyone, like, everyone thinks that she's great, but she's not really that great.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, and she, this lady's, like, singing her heart out, but she just is not very good. And that's the thing. Everyone on the show is, like, giving it their all, but they're not very good. And I had to find out, like, who are the people behind this show? And, like, all the names in the credits are German.
Really?
And I can't find any, I can barely find any information about this show. Then there's a season two that takes place in Italy, where all the supporting characters are Italian.
Oh my God.
Speaking English.
Right.
It's weird. I don't understand, like, what European
being in
tax
having
credit.
Italian speak English
you know?
Is weird.
Yeah.
No, like, I went to Italy once, and, like, the amount, like, the chance of you encountering someone who speaks English in Italy is very low.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we were trying to meet with a family because we saw before an exchange student from Italy, and we were going to meet a family who speak English. But we got turned around, and we saw like an Italian teenager, and we're like, maybe he knows English. We're like, hey, excuse me, you there. He's like, oh, ciao. And we're like, can you help us? And he's like, you know, you think that, like, you know, he spoke some Italian to us, and we're like, English? And he goes, no, ciao. And then he just walks away. He's smiling the whole, like, I've never seen a happier person. Just like, he was like happy. He was excited. Like, oh, like new people. Like, oh, they just went to tell you. Like, I'll just say hi.
Yeah, fuck you.
No, he wasn't like, he wasn't aggressive about it. He was like so genuinely like emphatic the entire time. Like, never once said I get like a weird vibe or like oh, well, he's just being a dick or whatever. Like, no, he was like, he was very happy. He was excited to see us, but he was just already couldn't help us out.
Good.
And I left.
Oh. Maybe he knew how screwed you were.
Like, oh.
I was telling Steve and Corey on the way up, I asked them if they knew who Rob Hubel is. Do you know him? You know Children's Hospital from Adult Swim at all?
Oh, yeah. So, I never got to watch it, like, regularly. Oh, okay. But
so he's one of the doctors on there.
Okay.
Just, like, kind of hangs out with a bunch of those people, like, doing different
isn't that work. That comedy circle?
So, he's got a show on YouTube, Red, called Do You Want to See a Dead Body? Where he asks his different friends or begs them to go see a dead body with him. And I have 3 months free of YouTube Red. I decided to sign up and see what it was, if it's something I want to do.
Is this an exclusive?
So it's an exclusive on there.
Okay.
And so I just watched a couple episodes. They're like 20 minutes each or something like that, maybe not even. Because they're like two different parts.
How much do they do with a dead body?
So not much. So like the first episode,
they find a new dead body every episode, presumably.
The first episode, he gets hit by Adam Scott. So he's riding a bike, and Adam Scott backs into him.
Okay.
And he's bleeding all over, and he's feeling sick and stuff. And he basically guilts him into having a day with him. And one of the things they
like
do is they
Adam Scott play himself. Like,
yeah,
I'm actor Adam Scott.
And Rob is playing himself, but as a kind of like a down on his luck.
Version of himself,
yeah. And so he kind of guilts him into doing a bunch of different things. They end up robbing a store, and then they go to see a dead body where it's a parachuter that got stuck in a tree, and he's just there dead. But it's very, like, the humor is very much like Children's Hospital. It's very over-the-top, satirical, like, maybe satirical is not the best word for that.
They're acting in earnest, but it's like,
yes,
it's,
yes.
It's
yeah,
absurd.
It's
absurdist.
Yes, it's very absurdist. And it's just, it was really entertaining to watch. And the second episode, he's taking Terry Crews to the airport, and he asks him if he wants to see a dead body before they go to the airport. But before they do that, he's like, well, I set up this date online a while ago, so we got to go to the beach, and it's okay, she's bringing a friend, you can hang out with her. And it just, like,
it's not
it
like
just,
Terry Crews has to be on his flight by
right,
a particular time.
Right. Well, and he kept saying he's in the Diamond, and he wants to, the Diamond program, and he wants to go and get his champagne or whatever. But, you know, stuff like that. It's just very surreal almost. And it's funny. It's really funny to watch, I think. I think that's the only newer content from 2017 that I've watched. And it started in November. They released that.
It's part of a Corpse Watch program?
Yeah.
That sounds like the kind of thing that I would like to watch, but I am probably never going to spring for YouTube, Brad, unless I have a free trial or something.
I was going to say, and they were doing a free trial that they kept advertising it while I was at work, like 3 months free, and then a discounted price if I kept it. And so in March, I make a decision whether I keep it or not. But
that's pretty
the
cool.
Thing with YouTube Red is that you, if you sign up for that, or if you sign up for Google Music Plus or whatever they call it, they're combined. So you get you get both together for one cost. So I think it's $10 a month for that.
The one thing about YouTube Red that I feel like I might prefer, as it is right now, I'm paying $10 a month for Spotify. And I've often considered, like, should I be spending that $10 a month for YouTube Red instead and use it as a music player?
Like, which you can. You can use that as a music player or Google Music, either way. So it's nice because, you know, with YouTube Red, you can play the YouTube videos on your on your phone, and they have a separate music player, and the YouTube app will work this way too. But
you're right.
You turn it off, like put it to sleep, whatever you call it, the screen, it'll keep playing. Whereas now, if you do that, the video stops playing and you don't hear anything.
And I've been a Spotify user for a few years now, and I'm often like an evangelist for it because I really, really like Spotify.
Yeah.
But like when it's to the point where when it's missing something, it feels like a huge frustration because Spotify has everything.
Yeah.
And so when something's not, like, after playing Mario Odyssey, I really want to queue up the Mario Odyssey soundtrack.
I fucking love the music.
Sure,
somebody has it on YouTube.
Someone's made a YouTube playlist, but it's not on Spotify.
Right.
Nintendo has not published any of their game soundtracks on Spotify the way that Sega has. Sega has released a few new, like, soundtrack albums, and those are all on Spotify, and that's great. But
almost
like,
practically criminal.
Yeah. So I've occasionally thought about trying out YouTube Red as a music, but I also know that I probably couldn't make it work with Alexa, which is how we listen to music at home now.
Yeah, because YouTube is no longer supported by, well, Google won't.
Google and Amazon have their fucking fight.
Yeah, although you can do it if you use their browser.
Yeah.
So, but that's more for like the Fire Stick. I'm a Google Home house. I got a Pixel 2, and then came with the free
Mini.
And then I picked up another
Mini. I hear they're
great. They are. I like them. It's got good audio to it. I've got it set up. I picked up a couple of smart plugs, mainly so I could, with my phone, turn off the light in the nursery while I'm feeding Connor. So I need it on for a certain amount of time, but I don't want to stand up with him, go turn off the lights, sit back down. And then I set one up to turn on the Christmas tree. And then I have one that I put in a new light switch in the basement that controls the heating coil stuff on my roof so that the ice doesn't build up.
That's pretty cool.
I went all out. Mainly, that last part is where I'm just like, I've had this idea for a while. I wasn't sure how I wanted to do it. And once I got the Google Mini, it all just kind of fell into place. So,
yeah. I do a lot of the same stuff with Alexa. Like, uh-huh. we have an Amazon Echo in every floor of the house now. And so I have bought up so many just like cheap, generic smart switches.
Yeah.
That work just as well as a Wemo or any name brand. They're exactly the same.
Yeah.
So almost every light in my house now, if it's not expressly controlled by a switch. I do have one like smart switch that I installed.
Yeah.
Like for the porch. But just everything. I having a baby, I love being able to control everything with my voice.
Yeah.
I'm holding a baby and fucking holding the laundry basket and like I gotta turn on the lights on my way down the stairs.
So, I don't know how... There is no app for Amazon Alexa, right?
There is. Oh, yes, there is. There's an app for you to configure everything.
Oh, okay. So you could control it from your phone as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay, everything. Okay. Well, I buy all these fucking, like, off-brand switches, uh-huh. and every one of them has a different app.
Oh,
so if I wanted to control it, I gotta remember, like, what kind is that switch on again? So I've really come to rely on the voice control to do everything so that I don't have to poke through like three different phone apps.
The way the Google stuff works is it goes through Google Assistant, and which then in turn goes through Google Home. Google Home's where you set up all of your devices. So you have to have the different apps to set up the accounts. But after you've done that,
you can access them all through one app.
You remove the apps from your phone.
Oh, wow.
Because it's tied your account.
Okay.
To it. So
that's pretty convenient.
Which is good because the one cheapo plug set I got ate the shit out of my battery because I was constantly running looking for stuff.
Oh, wow.
So I remove that. I run it directly through there. But because it's through Assistant, I have the choice of using my voice or I can press the button and just do text in a thing. So I can tell it, turn off the nursery light, and it'll do that. One step further, I have an automation program on my phone. So I created an app that will allow me to turn on the light or turn off the light with a press of a button. So
wow.
I made my own interface for it without having to have that stupid app in there.
Huh, that's cool.
It's handy as shit.
It's cool to me, but I do wonder if our listeners are no longer. We've really kind of gotten into the weeds of home automation here.
So MAGFest.
MAGFest.
Yeah.
Video game.
Steve fell asleep 15 minutes ago. We're an hour and a half away.
Oh shit, boys.
That's right. We are almost there, and I guess we are still like enjoying dry, sunny weather.
Yeah. Although those are some clouds ahead. So we'll have to see what that.
God damn it. I don't know. This podcast has been going on for a while. Unless anyone has anything super interesting that they'd like to share with the group,
everything we say.
I guess I will thank you everybody for listening. I hope that here's hoping the audio quality of this CarCast turns out to be in any way listenable.
Yay!
And we will have a whole bunch of other MAGFest content. As per usual, we'll be interviewing fun people on the floor so check out Fat Gatsby and see what we do.
Holla at you, girl.
I guess. Thanks for listening, and goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.